Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's assigned reading is beautiful, powerful, touching on almost every doctrine of the Christian faith. Since the passage is so rich in doctrinal content, our text will be only a portion, the doxology of verses 5b through 6. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. These verses of Revelation speak to us who are or who will be pastors. There is guidance for us, personally and professionally, from John's doxology. This guidance has four aspects. First, our text guides us by reminding us to see ourselves as individuals who are loved by Christ. The danger exists that we will be so caught up in our challenging, time-consuming, exhausting church work, relating the truth of the gospel to others, that we will develop a professional toughness which may hinder the comforting message of God's word from reaching our hearts. Christ not only knows each one of us and has compassion on us, he loves us. He has loved us from eternity before the foundation of the world, and he will continue to love us forever. This truth gives us constant peace and assurance, especially during those times in the ministry when we may be lonely, filled with grief, or overwhelmed with work. From our text and from the multitude of parallel passages in Scripture, we can say, Christ's love for me is immeasurable, inexhaustible, never-ending. He is always with me to help me, support me, and protect me as my good shepherd. This text from Revelation likewise reminds us to see the members of our congregations as individuals loved by Christ. The Savior loves them as much as he loves us. Thus, we want to avoid any kind of attitude which regards the clergy as superior to the laity. Moreover, our text guides us to deal continually in love with our members. One of the tremendous joys of the ministry in a world of disappointment and heartache and loss and uncertainty is to present to our members the refreshing, encouraging news of Christ's amazing, enduring love for them. At times, however, we will have to speak in love, a word of reproof from God's law to those for whom we are exercising spiritual care. Thus, we ask God for wisdom to present the appropriate message from his word. We pray for patience and self-control when dealing with aggravating, exasperating members, that we may shepherd them in love, regarding those members as people loved by Christ. Second, our text guides us by reminding us to see ourselves as those who are freed or loosed from our sins by the blood of Christ. We, as pastors or future pastors, need the Savior just as much as anyone else, including the Apostle John. We, too, by nature, were enemies of God, rebelling against him on the way to damnation. We still sin daily, if not with our actions, then with ungodly thoughts, or with not doing what we should, and sometimes with bad words. But Christ, who shed his blood on Calvary's cross, paid for every single one of our sins, and then he arose triumphant from the grave. Through faith in Christ, faith which Christ creates and preserves in us through his means of grace, we have complete forgiveness. We are regarded by God as righteous. We have everlasting life. Christ's blood cleanses us from all sin. It frees us from the penalty of everlasting death in hell, which our iniquities deserve. Relieved by this good news, with what genuine joy, real conviction, and eagerness will we present the gospel truth to the members of our congregations? God help us always to see them as people for whom Christ died and arose from the dead, as people who are precious to Him. Our text reminds us, as pastors and future pastors, that we are not to lord it over the flock, for the sheep have one Lord who bought them and paid for them and freed them from their sins with His own blood. Rather, we see the ministry as a wonderful honor and an awesome responsibility. We are entrusted with the spiritual care of Christ's people. With His help, we can and we will serve them well, minister to them faithfully as under-shepherds of the great shepherd. Third, our text guides us by reminding us who are or will be in the ministry that we, together with all who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, are Christ's kingdom. Verse 6a reads, Christ has made us to be a kingdom. Christ's kingdom consists of those in whom He rules, that is, those who have faith in Him. This kingdom is the Una Sancta, the one united, holy, invisible church. We rejoice that we are ruled by Christ. Let us continually see those whom we serve as fellow members of Christ's kingdom. Not only is Christ our King, but we also, clergy and laity alike, rule with Christ. We rule with Christ here on earth because we have and use the powerful word of our Almighty King. Further, we will rule with Christ in heaven and in the world to come. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3, to him who overcomes, this is the victory of faith, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. Our text tells us then as pastors that we are to minister to our people from Scripture, to teach them and preach to them God's word for their spiritual upbuilding, for their equipping, so they can take God's word out into the world. Let us keep on learning and studying Scripture so that we may be able ministers of the word, proclaiming to our people the whole counsel of sacred writ, the central message of Scripture, the chief message from beginning to end. The Alpha and Omega of God's word is Jesus Christ. Christ who is crucified, Christ who arose, Christ who ascended, Christ who brought us to faith, Christ who empowers us to live as His people. And that brings us to the fourth and final point of our text. Verse 6 reads, Christ has made us priests to His God and Father. As we recall from Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, John was writing not to the seven pastors, but to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Thus, our text guides us by reminding us that although we as pastors have the special task of shepherding the sheep, all of us, clergy and laity alike, are priests made by Christ to serve His Father. We have been saved to serve, and God wants and delights in service from both pastors and lay people. All believers are priests in that they offer up sacrifices acceptable to God for Jesus' sake. These sacrifices are the good works which believers do, wherever they are, to God's glory. Scripture says that these sacrifices include the fruit of our lips, which confess Christ, which declare His praise. Believers, therefore, carry out their priestly function in church during the worship service and in the home, in the workplace, and in the vacation area, where they serve the Lord with their lives. Once again, then, our text is telling us, as shepherds of the sheep and as priests along with our members, be in the Word and keep on feeding your people with the Word. The law shows us how God wants us to live, of course, through the gospel, the written Word, and the sacrament. Believers are motivated and strengthened by Christ to function as His priests, which He made them at their conversion. We as pastors want to bear much fruit for the Lord, giving evidence of our faith in our lives. And we want our members to do this too, rejoicing when they are fruitful vines, fruitful branches joined to the vine, namely Jesus Christ. There is guidance for us pastors and future pastors from John's doxology. Our text guides us personally, and it speaks to us as church professionals. May we, with God's help, keep on seeing ourselves as individuals who are loved by Christ, who have been freed from our sins by Christ's blood, as individuals who are part of Christ's kingdom, who are God's priests. And God grants that we may see those whom we serve in the same way and minister to them accordingly. In Christ's name, amen.